If Harbaugh waits for the Green Bay job or the Buffalo job, as we've kind of talked about here, and one of those guys shake free, is how people view the Browns job. I don't think enough people are actually giving the Browns maybe the feather in their cap on the talent that they actually do have.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, again, I don't think Kevin's why they had five wins this year. I think they were a five-win team this year. But with another good offseason, do I think you're going to be at least around 7 to 9 wins next year? Yes. I think a quick turnaround, pending on what you do at the quarterback spot, absolutely can be part of this.
Well, and so I think that's why some people are excited about the prospect of Harbaugh, not just for the long-term sustainability of it all, but the idea that you get to work right away. Like, Harbaugh's not going to sit around and let you try to have another five-win season to make 2027 the time you really make a run at it. I would think Andrew Berry would be up against the wall no matter who they hire, but I don't know. Like, how long of a leash do you think he has? He seems to think like he can just do whatever kind of rebuild he wants.
Yeah, I don't think he thinks that. And it's not even about job security, although, again, Andrew's smart enough to know Jimmy Haslam was very patient in March, and then he wasn't in December.
But he's been very patient with him, though, in particular. And that's the thing that if I'm Andrew Berry, like, you just can't trust that forever. And so I it would not surprise me if the Browns are really aggressive this offseason to try to turn this thing around as quick as you can.
I think so, too, but not just because of his own it's the NFL. You don't get three losing seasons in a row.
And what's his old line? His old line is the idea this isn't baseball. You know, it doesn't take 5 years to do this. You can do this much quicker. Well, if you want to just even tank everything with Deshaun, we've been doing this for long enough, even without the prospect of Deshaun being the quarterback.
Listen, I know you don't have a Lamar Jackson or Pat Mahomes to sell anyone on coming here to Cleveland. I get that that is a huge part of the way people assess Cleveland. And even, you don't even have a Jackson Dart. You do have a Myles Garrett. And you do have a Denzel Ward, and you do have, I think a lot of people are going to look at I just think you look at this roster, even Judkins and Fannin, like, there's enough talent here that if you just, I don't know, build an offensive line and get a receiver worthy of being a starting receiver in the NFL, I think you can be, I really do think you can be, I don't want to say in the playoffs, because that's not just about what you're doing, but what everybody else is doing. But could I see a scenario, a realistic scenario, where the Browns are in the playoffs next year? 100%. It's not that hard to get better quarterback play than they had this year. That starts with whatever your head coach is going to be. And I think the number one thing about fulfilling this prophecy is either Jim Schwartz staying, or that you don't have to switch to like a three-man front, like a 3-3-5 like Flores, and you can stick with like a four-man front where this roster fits what you want to do.
Well, so that's kind of the hard part of these convos, is that we're playing with the assumption that this defense is just going to be awesome forever. And like, part of that is Jim Schwartz, though. And so like, this whole shakeup, it's hard to project out this team because so many different things can happen and so many different things, different looks can happen. But I'm with you. I lean more optimistic on this than we're just doomed forever.
So then why? Again,
I don't know about playoffs next year. You said playoffs. I don't know if I lean that way.
I mean, playoffs on any given year can be 9 wins, depending on what happens around you.
The other side of this as well. Patriots did it quick. Even Jacksonville, because not many people love Trevor Lawrence. So you're not just going to shoot it down and be like, they have Drake May, the Patriots. That's why they're good. Okay. Not many people love Trevor Lawrence. He's been in the league for a long time. Didn't have an 11-win season like this. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, like, there's, you can do this quick. Quick in the NFL, it just, can they turn over the offensive line? I think they can, because I just watched Chicago do it. No. Can we add more wide receivers? I don't know what we're going to do in that department, but every year there's 3-4 names that pop up that instantly can be better than Jerry Jeudy.
Then why are other people in the media, and I'm not trying to name specific names or you know, why are they talking about this like it's the worst job of the NFL?
I think it's because they don't know the direction the Browns are actually going to go. I think we both know you can build this thing up and you can make a real run at it as quick as you want to go. I think they're confused by the timeline, the way that a lot of fans and myself have been confused by this timeline the entire time. And I don't know if there's an urgency there. Again, the cool thing about Harbaugh is, you know, there'll be urgency attached to that, and you'll start doing this winning thing right away, because he's not going to do another 5-win season.
I think there is urgency here. I think the fact that the Browns are taking the long road is silly. Andrew Berry has no incentive to be like, hey, next year, 5 wins is cool again. He has no reason. And I, by the way, I don't know for certain if they had 5 wins next year again that he'd be fired. But he's certainly a hell of a lot safer if you win 9 or 10 games.
I mean, I agree with you. If I was him, I'd have a bunch of urgency. But I would have had more urgency last offseason, and he didn't have that either. So, like, I don't ever know their plans. And their plans have always been to the point where we bring up media members that say none of this matters till 2029 in that new stadium. I don't know what they're constantly doing. And I think that's where a lot of the media members, at least from the national people, I think they're just as confused, too. Because there's never been an outlined timeline. There's never been a... This is going to happen now and then, and they don't move with the urgency that I want. But I hope that changes this offseason.
And, well, okay, then you know this. I said last January, there's a 3-5 win team.
Yeah,
I said in August, it's a 3-5 win team. They won 5 games. If there's just no excuse to have 2 off seasons in a row where you come out of this thinking that's where you're going to be. If you were a 5-win team now with Joe Flacco into Dylan Gabriel into Shador in a way that was done in the clunkiest, least efficient, oh my God, I don't know they're on the same page kind of way, and with where the offensive line was and with your wide receiver situation, I hate to do this because the defense certainly can take a step back next year. But it's going to be hard to be this bad 3 years in a row. If you're drafting well and if you're being any bit of aggressive. Like the Browns, part of the big reason why I think this thing came to fruition is the Browns weren't aggressive last year. They traded down from 2-5, right? They took the long road, but they clearly prioritized playing younger players. Their big addition was Malik Collins, who was fantastic. They really didn't supplement the rest of the offensive line.
And
they didn't really bolster this team.
And that was one of the tells, by the way, that we both picked up on for why we didn't think they were taking it that serious this last year.
Yeah.
Was the lack of moves, the lack of trades, the lack of at least thinking about what that offensive line situation was going to be as 4 guys were then not going to have contracts after this season. And so I think it will present itself. I think this offseason we'll see what direction they're going to go, but until they actually do it, I think there's a lot of people that are just hesitant to buy into that.
216-474-0092. How close do you think that the Browns are? This is a tricky question because to what, I think, is the real question. But like Andrew Berry talked about that they are going to have ample cap space. I think that's true. I think, they are burdened with the Deshaun hit. Yes, they are burdened with the O-line hits. And yet, this is an organization that has multiple ways to open up significant cap space. And between that and the draft collateral, I think the only thing that could maybe put a pin in this and hurt you is if maybe the offensive linemen aren't there in the draft versus free agency. And like usually I like to either trade, usually I like to sign interior offensive lineman and free agency, and then you draft the tackles, right? Because it just premier tackles so scarcely ever get to the open market and free agency. Unless there's like a Trent Williams, which that was sure. More than just about football when it came to that. This feels like the year where it's like, all right, you better find those tackles in free agency because... That's going to be the better place because unless Caleb Lomu just shoots up the draft boards, which I do think is possible. But beyond him, this is a lot of right tackles.
I think their actions are going to tell us how serious they are about this year. I hope it happens. I'm just praying it happens is really the reality here.
Yeah, give me a little Linderbaum.
Is that
Can you
yeah,
imagine? Because
yeah.
Here's the thing. You get Harbaugh and Linderbaum.
That's the duo in heaven there.
Nick Wilson is quite happy, quite satiated.
What's his contract look like?
Linderbaum, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option because they would have had to pay him like a tackle. And so people are thinking...
What we need is like a Linderbaum, then you also need someone like last year, like when Tooney became available. You know what yeah. I mean? Like you need someone like that, someone of that stature that is just... the Chiefs are paying too much money on the line as is. They had to let somebody go, but he was obviously as good as you're going to find. We need stuff like that to break our
I
way.
Think you need to sign 3 offensive linemen in free agency and draft at least 2 more. Honestly, you probably have to draft 3 of your 10 picks have to be on the O-line, and you still might be a player short. Mac?
So Spotrac has their estimated market value for players hitting free agency. They estimate Tyler Linderbaum at $17.7 million
Done.
Per year.
Yeah, great. Let's do it. We need guys. That's the point. And again, their actions are going to tell us this offseason. If they have another offseason like they did last year, we're going to look around and say, well, what is the long-term plan? Are you trying to go for a quarterback in 2027? Because if at that point you would have spent 3 years before actually going through with the quarterback plot.
Yeah, I think that's where...
It's a long time.
I think that's where that's ultimately where... You're going to have to ask yourself, if it's Shador, Deshaun, and Dylan, can that room end up being better than Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and the two rookies this year? Because theoretically, okay, young talent can get better. If you believe in Shador right now, that better talent around him, he can be better. Got Mel Kiper Jr. out here going as hard as you can for Shador after this year.
Get him, Mel. Get him.
But that's a lot to put on. I mean, in fairness, it is a lot. And listen, I absolutely hate how much stock people have already put in him, Malik Willis, because that is if you bring him in at a respectable rate and you let him and the other quarterbacks battle for the job, I'm comfortable with it. If you give Malik Willis the Justin Fields, I got a feeling that's not going to be great for you.
Unless it's like, hey, LaFleur wants to come here, and the caveat is you bring Malik Willis with you, and then we do that.
Malik, $30 million guaranteed.
Then we do. I'll give you a way better than market price.
Come on down, Malik Willis, 216-474-0092. How close do you think the Browns are? Ron and Shaker, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
My brother from another mother, Nikki Dubs, JP, Mac Robinson on the board. Yes. How's everybody doing over there?
What's not up, as good as you, buddy.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, guys. I think you're overthinking it, Nick. I mean, the Browns were an 8-win team at least this year. I mean, think about it. We got 5 wins. We should have won the Cincinnati game. We should have won the Jets game. Should have won the Titans game. And then a case can be made that they should have won the San Francisco 49ers game.
Okay, but real quick, but you can make a case that you should have lost the Green Bay game, you should have lost the Steelers game, the second one, and you should have lost the second Cincinnati game, right? Yeah, if we're talking about one kick goes this way or one play goes that way, those were 3 games you could easily have swung the other way.
Yeah, my point is the common denominator is Kevin Stefanski. I think Kevin Stefanski mismanaged all of those games, but he got lucky in those games that you just mentioned. But real quick, I know my time's limited. I know we're up against the 2020 in 5 minutes. But I compare Harbaugh to McCarthy. They both have a Super Bowl, but a case could be argued that McCarthy's actually had better success than Harbaugh. Outside of that Super Bowl, I mean, come on. I mean, I think McCarthy has done more with less than Harbaugh. My dream scenario is McCarthy and Schwartz. I think that gets you your 9 wins next year. And if the AFC North stays, you know, the way it is, that gets you a playoff berth. That gets you possibly the division. So that's what we need to dissect in there. It's McCarthy or Harbaugh. I say it's much easier. I mean, if Harbaugh is going to play these games that Harbaugh's always play, go out and get McCarthy, keep Schwartz, and let's roll with it. See if we can get Bill Callahan back. And I'm telling you, we've got a 9-win team next year.
Ron, we appreciate you. I think you might have as good of a 9-win team next year. I think you were a 5-win team this year. I think Kevin Stefanski got every bit out of it. By the way, don't sleep on Dwayne Ledford, the Falcons' old O-line coach. He is a free agent. It's funny, when you put McCarthy up against Harbaugh, I recoil.
Yeah.
If you take Harbaugh out of it, McCarthy isn't a great idea. He's not an awful idea. Like, I think you can
I'm
win.
I'm surprised we're not getting more steam with McCarthy, for being honest.
I figured
I thought we'd have more and more calls. I thought it'd be like basically like in 2019 with McCarthy, where everyone was just pounding their chest for McCarthy in a big time way.
McCarthy is a year younger than John Harbaugh.
Well, there we
have
it.
So he's the younger candidate.
Oh, boy, he looks like easily 15 years. There's a difference there.
He's lived a hard life.
There's a difference. That's a lot of cheese curds.
One of those guys knows about cardio, and the other guy knows about cardiologists.
Mm.
It's pretty good. That's pretty good, right?
That was good, yeah.
And a little riffing there. Yeah.
Hey, we're having fun. I guess not that much fun.
YouTube knows the look I just shot,
Matt.
Not
that much fun.
How close do you think the Browns actually are? And credit where it is due for the Browns. Another thing I think people are missing, more from you guys as well in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive, in case you missed it, coming up in about 60 minutes time. We've had a long day here, but all the names, I don't want to say all the names because I'm sure I'm going to forget at least one, but the names to talk about today are Dan Pitcher, the Bengals OC, who has never called plays and happens to have Joe Burrow as his quarterback. That makes it easier. So that is probably more what I struggle with than the he didn't call plays thing. You know, like the two things I struggle with Dan Pitcher are, he's just a friend Andrew Berry had 10 years ago in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say just a friend. That's where they started to know each other from. And it's really easy to look like a smart candidate when Joe Burrow's your damn quarterback.
Yeah, he's made a lot of people look really good, including Brian Callahan. Like, he's made a lot of, and when you sound it out, not only you sounding it out, but when Ross sounded it out as well, I think a lot of the listeners had that moment of like, oh yeah. Yeah, they are putting a lot into this guy who didn't even call plays, has Joe Burrow, has the best wide receiving duo in the entire NFL, and in the midst of all this, they're going through the worst stretch the Bengals have had with Joe Burrow. It's not even like some wildly successful
yeah.
stretch.
Yeah.
This is the worst stretch they've had, and so it's a peculiar read on it. What's interesting, though, is that everyone in Cincinnati, and again, talking to my buddy that covers the Bengals, he's like, he's going to be a head coach one day. Like, this is the guy. This is the person they all rave about. They think he's awesome. They think he's above the Browns, and I just don't see it.
Yeah.
But we don't know him. We don't know him. Maybe he is awesome.
When I hear that, I actually hear a little bit of brown, I guess it would be black and orange colored glasses on that one.
Well, it kind of sounds like to me, Bengals fans, Bengals media, they all live with the assumption, I don't know why, that Dan Pitcher, if Zach Taylor got fired, Pitcher would get the bump up and he'd be the head coach. Like, this is what they want to see happen.
Yeah, I don't love any of this. And again, that doesn't mean he's not a good candidate. It's just, I don't know how you overcome Joe Burrow's your head coach. Like, oh, yeah, you can prove you can talk in a meeting, but how do you, like, what's the plan that you're pitching yourself on other than, you see what Joe Burrow did? Eh? You like that?
I mean, like, everything you could draw up just kind of ceases to impress me because yes. Joe Burrow was the one doing it. And it's not their fault, but it's their reality.
One of the things that people point out, too, is that Dan got his start in Indianapolis on the scouting side. And he was a scout mm-hmm. for 4 years
yeah.
before becoming either the assistant wide receivers coach or wide receivers coach for the Bengals. And then he slowly transitioned to the OC thing and so on and so forth. Yeah, I think that's a valuable thing to have. I don't need to have my head coach be a scout. Meaning, like, have scouting experience. Just because you have a scouting experience doesn't mean you're a good scout.
I think more what this signals, though,
also, I have a GM for that.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. This gives Andrew Berry somebody that Andrew Berry instantly can trust, which is important because Andrew Berry has got to be convinced that he's getting ready to be bus tossed. So you want as many buddies as you possibly can have. So there's no surprise Andrew Berry likes this guy if they have this 10-year friendship that goes all the way back to Indianapolis. But on top of it, you probably get to keep Jim Schwartz because, again, you get to control this guy. This guy isn't somebody that will be calling shots. This isn't somebody that all of a sudden gets to, you know, wheel his power around. He's got no power. He's an offensive coordinator that doesn't call plays under Joe Burrow. You have no power entering this scenario. So from an Andrew Berry selfish hire, I could see why he'd buy into it.
Yeah, I mean,
all about the job protection side of things. Which is half the game.
I'm glad that the names that have come out so far, it makes it seem like the Browns aren't just going off a tweet from 3 weeks ago from Adam Schefter with all the usual names. And I totally butchered the landing on talking about Ken's list the other day, but there wasn't a name on Ken's list when he did it yesterday, the six names he put out there that I was like, oh, this is a wide-ranging search. Those are six names that everyone's going to want to talk to.
Yeah.
I don't consider that to be comprehensive. And by the way, Ken's allowed to have whatever his name is. I'm not criticizing his list. But like, you look at you brought up the Titans earlier. Like, it's Matt Nagy, it's Lou Anarumo, it's all the guys you would expect them to talk to, and none mm-hmm. of them are good names. And when I say good names, what I mean is, all right, if you're going to do a retread, what did that coach do? What's Matt Nagy? Oof. I mean, that is, I like... That is just the oofiest of oof. I mean, at least with McCarthy, I get it.
Yeah, right? McCarthy, three straight 12-win seasons. I don't think he's taking you to the Super Bowl, but I think he can at least stabilize you, and he'll get you 9-10 wins.
And, guys, he did the thing that nobody had done previously in Dallas. Sorry, not nobody, but that Jason Garrett didn't. Jason Garrett had three playoff appearances and three winning seasons in 9 years. Mike had 3-5 and a playoff win to boot.
Yeah.
So, like, do I think he's a great coach? No. Do I think he's a bad coach? Absolutely not. You can do a lot worse.
You can do a lot worse. But, like, I'm stuck on the pitcher thing because, well, first off, he kind of looks like Kevin Stefanski. I don't know how many photos of Dan Pitcher you've seen, but he kind of has like the same vibe, the same. He's got the same.
We gonna do the bait and
gray,
switch.
He's got the same gray in his beard.
And silver fox.
Yeah, the silver fox thing for sure. Even though you're like you're a little young for that, but I guess it happens to everyone at different stages. Maybe I don't know. It's going to start to happen to me here now in a couple years after I say that. That'll just be good karma.
I think your hair's going to... I think you're going to stay brown for a while.
I don't know, man. I'm worried about it. I think it's already starting to turn, I feel like, but it's fine.
It'll be right around the time your daughters turn about 10. That's when it's going to start to really go
and
gray.
And they will have been the cause of it. Yeah. Every bit of it.
With love, for good reasons and bad reasons.
Of course.
You stress because you love your girls, but you also stress... So they can put a little stress on you.
But I can see how a lot of the fan base would say this is a very uninspired hire, and they would question it. But a lot of these hires, at first glance, look uninspired, and the fan base questions it, and it turns out to be awesome.
216-5-7-5. I'm going to give you the old number. 216-474-0092. By the way, I went to call in to Kayla 2 weekends ago for a piece of sound that, unfortunately, we didn't end up using, but she did pull for us. And I typed in 3 different numbers before I got to our current number, the one that I say every single day. At some point, I became a chimpanzee with a computer. I was so like, I was like, what's the damn number?
So people might think that's crazy because people are like, oh, you say it every day and you say it 25 times a day or whatever it is. But just to let people know about it, when you say the number, you're not actively thinking about saying the number. The reason why radio people say the number is obviously to get you guys involved and to do all that. But also, there's like an easy reset that happens in your brain there as well. So like I've been on remotes before where I have to physically write out the number for myself. I look it up and then write down the number because you're like, I just need it in front of me. I know it sounds dumb, but I turn my brain off when I read that because I'm putting my brain to do other things.
I got it on the fourth try.
There we go.
The third try? Might have started with a 704.
I hope.
Might have.
I hope I helped you feel less dumb for that.
I mean, in fairness, life really does a good job of reinforcing the dumb.
Okay,
I've heard dumber things. Life, every time that I'm like, you know, I'm not really that. I don't even get the word dumb out. And life is like, nah, you sure about that?
You're dumb.
Full Tim Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out on him, by the way. I was very in on him with that new movie on HBO.
Yeah.
And then I watched the show, the chair company on HBO. Didn't love it. It was fine. We watched the whole series. It was fine. Didn't love it.
I do like I'm overly committed to the comedy bit. I mean, Will Ferrell has had a great 30-year career on it. If that's all you can do, which is not Will Ferrell. Will can do a lot of things. Like, I'd like Kyle Mooney and the one guy from Tim and Eric are having like a fake feud, and it's like, but it's super dry, and nobody knows if it's real or not, and it's like... I didn't think Andy Kaufman was that interesting, and I don't really think this is that interesting.
I don't know.
We got really inside comedy there, but it needed to be said.
Well, I mean, the sad part is that I missed his fastball. I've never seen Detroiters, and I think that's what I'm missing out on.
Mm. Sam Richardson's funny as hell.
I love him. Yeah. I think he's hysterical.
216-474-0092. Is it time to put Tim Robinson to bed? Yeah. Is he nothing without Sam Richardson? JK, LOL, he's very talented.
Is Sam the Joe Burrow and Tim is Dan Pitcher now?
So it's not just, in fairness, this is... I'm cool with Dan Pitcher because if you're the first guy to interview him and you hire him, like with Stefanski, I can understand you've had success with that. But I do want a wide-ranging, comprehensive search. I reel this back in to say... But for some reason, that guy is the one that I'm getting stuck on right now. Kudos to the Browns in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.